someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
Education. It is a word that has been bandied around and claimed by people with diverse points of view. It has been at the heart of struggle and at the root of dreams. My guest today takes that very seriously. She has devoted the 2 decades of her professional life to ensuring that students on every level learn and that the next generation is prepared to teach. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest on The Journey is the Dean of the School of Education at Howard University, Dr. Dawn Williams. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
So you were born in Brooklyn and raised in Queens. Tell me what it was like growing up in Brooklyn at the time that you did.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, stayed there until about 5 or 6 years old, and we transitioned to Queens, and it was a very important transition in my life. When I was in Brooklyn, I was around very diverse populations that looked a lot like myself and my family, but when I went to Queens, it was quite a different scenario in which our neighborhood was diverse, but not primarily African American. So starting a school in that area where I was the only Black child in the class was an eye-opening experience to me about the world and about education.
And your parents, what about your parents really focused you around your education?
Well, my parents always stressed how important education was. I grew up in an era in which if you didn't get good grades, I could no longer perform or run on the track team. So they used that as a goal for me to keep focus on my longer goal with an education. My parents, I am a first-generation college student. My father particularly grew up in Prince Edward County, Virginia, and this is during the time of the segregated South. During the time of his upbringing, and this was after the Brown versus the Board of Education Supreme Court ruling in 1954. The school district at the time, in 1959, the school board decided to close the schools for 5 years as a result of massive resistance to desegregation. And in that case, my father and his brothers and several family members did without formal schooling for 5 years. That situation really changed the course of life for my family, for my father in particular, but of course for me and my siblings as well. But when I learned of that situation, it became my number one motivating force to pursue the highest academic achievements that I could.
So just to put that in context, because a lot of times, obviously, when we look at Brown versus the Board of Education in Topeka, Kansas, and we look at today, schools are getting even more segregated in some states simply because of where people live. What are your thoughts about how the system is set up now that is causing that? And are there, what are the deleterious effects that will come from that?
Well, the way that the situation is set up now in education in most domains is that you go to your local school. Your local school is zoned by the neighborhood in which you live in. So we see a lot of parents right now and a lot of families really have an angst over that because their local school may not be a high-performing school. So they feel like they don't have a lot of choices. It's not as easy for someone to pick up their family and move to a district in which there's a high-performing school because of the cost of real estate in many areas. So they are at a crossroad themselves of trying to figure out how do we provide the best that we can for our children. So that might mean for them to exercise different types of choices. And in some districts, there are choices that are afforded more so than others.
Now, you went to North Carolina A&T. Mm-hmm. An HBCU to get your bachelor's degree. I'm curious as to why an HBCU.
I also came up during the era of The Cosby Show in a Different World. in New York City or in New York, there are no HBCUs. And there, I believe the closest one may be in Pennsylvania for us. So I knew that I wanted to attend an HBCU. Although I'm a product of the New York City public schools, a very proud product of the New York City public schools, I never had a black teacher. And people find that to be very surprising.
In Brooklyn and Queens.
Well, particularly in Queens. When I started in Queens, I was in the first grade. So from first grade through 12th grade, I had no black teachers of major core subject areas. The two black teachers that I did have was music and a substitute teacher in my history course that was sort of a long term at times. I grew up in a high school that was about 90% African American in South Jamaica, Queens. But still, none of my teachers were African American. So I knew that I wanted a different experience when I went to college, and I sought out an HBCU to do so.
And then you subsequently went to University of Illinois at Urbana for your master's and PhD in educational policy studies with dual residency in educational organization and leadership. What was that experience like in contrast to your HBCU experience?
Oh, very different experience, but both experiences were very rewarding. So I will say when transitioning to the University of Illinois, I did find out about that particular institution and their College of Education through a summer program when I was a junior at A&T, the Summer Research Opportunities Program, which is around, which is helping to provide opportunities for students who are matriculating in Big Ten schools. So because of that experience as a junior and undergraduate, I learned more about graduate school, how to apply, what the benefits are, et cetera, and I chose University of Illinois. Now, my experience at Illinois was, it was wonderful. It was where I got to learn more about the education system from a policy perspective and learn about the various roles that people can play to help provide greater access for children.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Dawn Williams, Dean of the School of Education here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So to switch gears a bit, looking at your professional experience, obviously you joined the faculty here in 2003 and have risen through the ranks, formerly chair of the department and now serving as the dean. When you look at your experience here at Howard over the course of the past 15 years and you look into your deanship, what are some of the areas of priority that you have?
Oh, there are many exciting, exciting opportunities that I see forthcoming. If I had to prioritize right now, it would largely be around our partnerships. We, as a field of education, we have really focused a lot on educating students, preparing them to work with schools, urban schools in particular, but urban communities. However, we do this in silos way too often, and I want to make sure that I'm working alongside our local public schools. I want to make sure that I'm working with organizations that are like-minded to us to help advance the opportunities for children. So we have partnerships within our in the local area public schools, but we also have partnerships with major organizations like the American Association of School Administrators that help us to facilitate the Urban Superintendent Academy.
And when you look at those collaborations now, especially, for instance, just to focus a little bit on Prince George's County and the collaboration we have there, what are some of the knock-on benefits of that, not just for the students, but in the school district itself, to change some of the things that you and your faculty have identified as concerns in our educational system?
Yes. When we first began our partnership with Prince George's County, one thing that they mentioned to us was that they needed a stronger leadership succession plan. They noticed in their executive leadership that they didn't have very many individuals with terminal degrees, surprisingly. So they wanted us to assist them with meeting that goal, and we have met and exceeded that goal. So in Prince George's County, we have partnerships in teacher education as well as in leadership education. And what this does for the students in Prince George's County is help to make sure that they have qualified, credentialed, and caring individuals that are serving in leadership and instructional capacities.
And this year, you started a new PhD program in higher education, leadership, and policy studies. Mm-hmm. Tell me why and what is the focus of that particular program?
So our new PhD program in higher education has a specific focus on leadership development and policy advocacy. So this is a dual program, one that I like to call a scholar-practitioner program, because I like our graduates to be able to go into the field of academia in on the whether they want to be a professor or either in the field of helping to create more equitable policies around higher education. And I like for them to be able to go into executive leadership roles. But what the particular niche of this program is that we're hoping to strengthen the environment of minority-serving institutions. We're trying to create a talented and prepared pool to serve in that context.
Excellent. You know how I feel about university rankings, some of the publications that come out, such as U.S. News and World Report. I am concerned often that there are biases against schools like ours, where the focus is on providing an opportunity to those who otherwise. So when you look at financial resources as part of that system of ranking, it can really put schools like ours, you know, behind an eight ball. Having said that, against those odds, the School of Education has risen in the rankings yet again. Tell our listeners a bit about that and why you think the School of Education is continuing to gain such strength in terms of national appreciation of what you've been doing.
Well, we're very happy to be acknowledged in the rankings this year as 105th, which is in the top third of the rankings for graduate schools of education. And I think I share your sentiment about the rankings as well. We also see that being true of what's happening in the field of teacher education. But within the School of Education, my faculty have worked very hard to help to produce those partnerships. My students are also hardworking, and they result into very outstanding graduates, and the data shows us that to be the case. I know that our partnership with the American Association of School Administrators has played a big role in us to create the Urban Superintendent Academy, which in fact have produced about 10 superintendents across the nation. So I know that people are learning more about the work of Howard University because we're having a greater impact. We're having a greater visibility and outreach across the nation, particularly within urban schools.
And you also had a very rigorous accreditation visit recently with excellent outcomes. Again, speak to that and what you think are some of the underpinning qualities of the school that allow such a successful accreditation visit.
Yes, our accreditation visit went very well. Our site report, I believe, was a very strong report. Our self-study was very reflective of us. We did come out of our accreditation visit with meeting full standards and no areas for improvement, which has been a phenomenal accolade for us over the past couple of decades, actually. But what I think that the site team saw in our program, particularly in our teacher education program, which is the heart of the School of Education, they saw our students, really. They had an opportunity to speak with students in several cases, and they really saw how informed they were, even at the sophomore and junior levels. They were very impressed with our graduates. They were very impressed with what the people in the field were saying about our students and our graduates.
And with that in mind, as we close, why Howard University for the students who are looking to embark on a career in education?
In the School of Education, students will experience a diverse set of experiences in the preparation of being a teacher. We are a comprehensive School of Education, meaning that we have bachelor's degrees and master's degrees in teacher education, but also in leadership education, as well as in counseling and psychology. They get the well-rounded experience at Howard University. They also get an experience to prepare them to serve in urban school communities and to teach students from an anti-deficit lens. So coming to Howard University, our students have no problems of finding a job and beginning their budding careers as an educator after they leave us.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Dawn Williams, the Dean of the School of Education here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.
This is Harold Fisher. The Daily Drum is more than news, sports, and weather. It's information, conversation, edification. I talk to the newsmakers and other great guests that make you think. You're not just listening. You are part of the process with your phone calls. You can find me on Facebook/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Join me, Harold Fisher, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. for The Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR, The Adult Mix.